Yes, I do want to put that rat on the table by ATCO Pest Control.
Blowing smoke up your posterior.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I got some news.
Our transition decision making.
Is it good or bad news?
Diabolical.
The schedule release is coming at 5.
I think it's great news. Tomorrow, you know, the Warriors usually have a season-ending press conference with their head coach and general manager. They didn't do that this year because of Kerr, but it will happen tomorrow. Mike Dunleavy is doing a press conference tomorrow at 12:30.
Oh.
Steve Kerr will be doing one at 1 o'clock.
We should take that.
We will be taking
all
that.
All right.
We will be taking it all.
Where will we be taking it?
On 95.7 The Game.
My man.
So there you have it. 12:30 and 1 o'clock, Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr, respectively.
No Lakeup, huh?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not. But there's an extensive piece written on Steve Kerr today. And, you know, there was a little political thing in here, if you
I got through the story. Okay. Yeah.
The big emphasis was that, you know, Steve losing his father when he was 19.
Tragic.
By assassination, essentially.
Right.
Not essentially. And so, after reading all this stuff, I feel like, okay, the political aspect that we had heard about, is Joe Lacob maybe? I don't think Joe Lacob minds that very much, because if he's gotten to know Steve Kerr over the last 12 years, he knows that this is just too vital and too personal of an issue. Now, the one thing that did come out of this story that I thought was interesting was when the Minnesota ICE killings occurred and two people died,
they were in Minnesota.
Yes, exactly. And he was saying there was no way I wasn't going to say anything. I that's who I am. But do you remember what he said that particular time?
I do not.
It wasn't about politics. It wasn't about, you know, the administration. He said, the worst part of this is that there are families out there who will never see them come home again. And
which he experienced.
And what's happening now here in Minneapolis is going to, you know, it's going to die down eventually. But even after it's over, those two people are never coming back, and that is devastating to families.
How deep, man.
So, you know, maybe that's a way where he, you know, spun it in a way that it's not
I got you.
Overly political.
Yeah.
Let's see. We didn't hear this one. Kerr's coach, how about this? Kerr's coaching style was built on four core values that he identified during his mentorship with Pete Carroll, the football coach.
Okay.
What do you think they are? Four core values.
Loyalty.
No.
Give them to me.
Yeah, it's tough. Joy is number one.
Not to Durant, but okay.
And he says he found this out. He derived from his family and the jazz-like movement of the Warriors offense. That's what
jazz-like.
He compared to Joy.
Okay.
Number two is mindfulness. Says he learned that from Phil Jackson. Number three, competitiveness. Said he learned a lot of that with Greg Popovich and Michael Jordan. And then empathy. Rooted in his father's writings about walking in another man's shoes.
Draymond Green. Wow.
So there you go.
Well,
he talked about managing a fading dynasty. He talked about Draymond Green's rage. Talked about what meaningful basketball is. Anyway, it was a great story. Question now becomes, is there anything in there Joe Lacob didn't know?
And what's your answer off the top? Because mine is no. Now I feel like there's closure for me, Mr. Nosy. I feel like, Joe, they wouldn't have lasted this long if Joe didn't know any of this. And that's how they've lasted. And that's how you get to know someone. And it was, at the end of the day, Steve's choice. And he had all the time in the world to make his decision, and he made it.
I mean, this is really why you take time. Because clearly there were points of this season where Kerr was like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Damn.
The story's on ESPN, written by Wright Thompson. But he knew that he didn't want to make a decision in the moment. And so he took 3 weeks and said, you know what? I've weighed it all, and I think I'm going to come back for a couple more years. I know somebody that's going to do that pretty soon.
Yeah, but come back to what? If we put Kerr to the side, like I know you're over there looking at me right now, they might go big game hunting and try to bring a Giannis, a LeBron, or Kawhi in here. So they haven't given up. But without that component to it, and you just get fixated, and it's easy to do it, on Moody not being ready and Butler, it's like Curry's running. What are we going to be? That's where it's bleak right now. But, you know, who's to say they – I mean, like, the goal right now to me is make the damn playoffs.
Yeah.
Then, I get to, putting the championship talk away. But, yeah, you can't get to the playoffs. How are you going to start talking chips? But, man, I just hope we're not, what the Giants have become in.
Well,
perennial non-making the playoffs.
I mean,
man.
Would you give me this? And there is an off season, obviously. You'll give me this though, right? This team's not a playoff team at all next year.
Oh no,
it
can't be. No, Stani, you got Steph, right? And you didn't have him for 40 somewhat games.
But Butler and Moody.
Okay, but there could be some changes.
Right, but I'm saying, give me now. They are not a playoff team if they were to bring the same team back.
I'm not ready to say that. If you're telling me Steph wouldn't have missed those games, we would have made the playoffs. There's no doubt. Evan, you agree with me?
Doubt.
Not that I need you to agree with me. Would you say that's far-fetched? Let's say Steph misses 3 games of the games he missed.
This is what he does.
Would they have made the playoffs?
When he knows he's going to disagree with you, he pretends he's not listening.
Wait, what?
That's a four.
I said to Guru, I said, look, I know he's like, well, the goal next year is to make the playoffs, and at least.
Hell yeah.
At least. And I said to Guru, all right, obviously there's an off season, but right now, you got to give me, they're not a playoff team. And he's not ready to do that. He thinks they are.
If Curry doesn't get hurt like he did, I think they make the offs.
Wait, what? Well, he was available for the play-in games, right?
Yeah, my point is they were in that situation predicated on him missing umpteen games. So I was trying to be proactive. Let's say he missed 3 of the 40.
You don't think they would have slipped to 9 or 10 with him?
Man.
Well, I guess they were 10th, but you don't think they would have slipped to 9?
I don't. I just feel like we would have had more wins.
How are you letting the Butler and Moody injuries impact your feelings for next season?
Because you beat the Clippers without either one of them. And now we're talking about regular season games to where 37 about, Curry's available. I'll take 20 and 17 in those 30. You know, I just said what I said. Florio.
I would move forward
with
Joe Lake as Joe Lacob or Mike Dunleavy. And at this point say, we're not a playoff team next year. We better not even think we are.
If we want to keep it 100, you didn't make it this year, so why the hell? I'm just, again, health is wealth, and I'm just hoping. I know you say it's not bad luck, it's reality, but I'm hoping we get a reprieve from it because this hit us hard, man. Steph's hammy, Steph's new normal, and then Jimmy tearing his ACL, and what happened to Moses. Like, that can rip apart any team, man. Look what happened to the Lakers. Luka went out with a hammy. Then bye-bye, night-night chances.
Well, not next year. Luka's back.
Yeah, but if it happens again.
Then he'll come back the year after that.
My point is, yeah, but it can happen.
Yes, it can, but sometimes I feel like if I asked you right now, who's going to have a longer career from this point on, Curry or Luka?
I would go with the younger person.
The problem isn't necessarily that Steph got hurt. It's that old players stay hurt.
Yeah, but we're devoid of talent. Outside of Steph, okay, we got Jimmy, but outside of Steph and Jimmy, Stani, there's a gap, man.
I know. So I don't know why you would think they're a playoff team next year when Butler's going to miss half the season and Moody's going to miss half the season. I mean, I know it can change if they get a player in here,
but man. There's a sign in the window for a player. How about that?
Here's the other thing that I'm getting the sense, and I said this to Evan, like, I almost feel like the Warriors, like, are just expecting that they're going to get a player. Like, it feels like well, somebody said, well, Kerr, we had a caller said, Kerr knows that Lacob's going to bring a big boy in here. Wait, yeah. Who?
I got you.
How?
But
how?
I'm telling you this. I'm done doing that because it's all over social media and all these reports and these outlets and these sites. But it was the same people and same energy surrounding Joe Lacob's mandate is for Steve Kerr to change. And it looks like none of that was real. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the streets are saying there's no doubt the Warriors are going to go add somebody. And I'm an owl. Shout out Temple and John Chad. Who? You know, so until I'm the show me state moving the rest of the way with the Warriors. Show me. Because right now the streets got it like it's just assumed they're going to be able to identify and land that guy. Now, you know, I want it to happen, but I'm tired of getting my hopes up, man.
You will get. It'll be the first report. Warriors in on.
Nah, ain't no in.
Joe Blow.
I just did the giant one with Stanton, Judge, Harper, Correa.
You know, you said something interesting. You said it seems obvious now that, like, Kerr and Lacob didn't really have any adjustments to make.
I feel that. Like, I really thought this was like divorce court. Here, no, these are my demands, and it doesn't look like that in this beautiful piece.
Well, we don't know. Maybe there's some stuff that he didn't tell the writer.
Okay, all right.
I mean,
at this point, I'm asking you, I'm being real, it's kind of unfair. Would you have told him, hey, leave that out if you were doing this thorough piece and had given him the license to do it?
Probably not. You agree to an interview like this, or especially over the course of a year, I got to believe there's an incredible amount of trust that Kerr gave this guy.
What I love about it, too, is if there was something, if I were Kerr and the relationship was kind of rocky, the one thing that I would have told the guy to not print is I was 95% out on the eve of a playoff game. But that goes to let me know that relationship between the love between Joe and Steve is so much there to where Joe Lacob can give you, hey, if it's 5% chance, I'm hanging on that you're my coach. And that's like me or you going into the Higgin think I'm 95% thinking I'm ready to leave. You know, some coaches be like, if that's so high, you need to just go. But he didn't do that. He was like, tap into it, take some more time, and I'll take you back at 5%.
Yeah. And but I guess any good boss would do that.
Yeah, there we go.
So, okay. I'm the same age as Steve Kerr. He's a year younger than me.
Right.
All right, well, I'm getting up there, right?
Well, we're up there. But yeah.
I got a contract coming up later on this year.
Oh, I already know how my boss would handle it.
Well, first of all, the boss isn't handling anything. It's how I'm handling it.
But if you told him you were 94% thinking you might move on, he wouldn't kick you out the door. He'd be like, take your time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because he's a good boss.
So I understand that.
Yeah.
Like
both do.
That's what anybody would do.
But
But the other thing is Matt Nahegan knows where I'm at because I've worked for him for 8 years.
Right, right.
And he knows. And Joe Lacob, I'm sure, watched the ebbs and flows of the year with Steve Kerr and realized, you know what, there's some times where he looks pretty frustrated and there are others where he seems to be enjoying it. And then there's others where, he's somewhere in the middle. So I think Joe had to have a pulse of where Steve was.
Good point.
It's not a secret, Steve.
Yeah.
Like, was making a decision whether he wanted to coach or not.
It's real. Now, think about this, though. The B-side to this. So you're telling me, and I understand it, how difficult it is for Tony Vitello, who had no Major League Baseball experience at all, to come try to get this team off the mat because it hadn't had much success here lately outside the 107. But we would have to resurrect Moses or anybody like that to come with Dre and Steph still on this team. Could you imagine taking over for Kerr? Like, that would be a bear just with
Yeah.
From Kerr and Dre, and it's not a bad thing, but it's a heavy thing for what man could, whose shoulders are broad enough to kind of, there would have been somebody, I don't know, Stotts, Iggy, whoever. But boy, that's a position I would want to covet, Stani, my first crack out the door of becoming the team's new coach.
Yeah, and this from the text line, I'll do my best to answer it, from the 415. Why did Kerr do this article at this time? Well, the writer was pretty much embedded with Steve Kerr. He spent the year with him, not all year, but at various times during the course of the season, they would link up, and it was a year process is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And as for the exact release date, I'm sure Steve said, well, let's not do anything till I make a decision on my contract, because the story will need an ending one way or the other. And
makes me like Steve more, man. Like, Steiner, you are. How do you go, hey, Steve, can I follow you for a year? You cool with it? Like, that's a big ask.
You want me to do that with Finchie?
Well, your time's running out.
I know.
They're gonna do something tomorrow.
I know.
Chris A. from Oakland, Guru leads the league in getting his hopes up.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Hey. I don't know how to decipher. What does that mean? I'm a dreamer.
Yeah. And you're incapable of, like, not getting your hopes up. Like, it's not going to be a case of, Steiny, I'm not going to get excited about guys the Warriors might bring in. Yes, you will.
No, when I come across the Bay Bridge, I hope Leopard there's not police. You know what I mean? Like, the fast track.
Leopard can't change his spot. He really can't. By the way, I'm not going to do that. Here's how the conversation would go. Hey, I got an idea, man. Yeah, shoot. You know, I'm winding down here in this business, but I need another challenge. You say I write a book. I'll fly around with you guys all year and I'll write a book. No. That's how it would go. Right. No chance, Steiny.
Dude, I love Kerr for doing this.
Well, you don't have to shadow him for the entire year.
Pop it
from time to time.
Yeah.
What if I told you I...
Can't you do that from remote?
I mean, I guess
I'm in a hotel in Houston. I'm just saying.
I mean, that is... They did text a lot, the writer and Steve Kerr.
Oh, okay, right.
For sure.
Well, what about that interaction after the Toronto game? I mean, that was one that...
Yeah, remind me again, because there's so much.
This is the one we got to get to.
Well, I think it told me how significant their relationship, whether it was working or personal or not, was, because he texted him after they blew a game late to Toronto. They were up 8 with a few minutes left.
See wild.
Tons of turnovers, lost in overtime. And that was when Kerr had the realization that he was kind of done. And he texted Wright Thompson, you know, I'm feeling like this is the end, essentially. Like, he proactively talked to the writer who was writing a piece about the end of his career before his eyes. And I think that's pretty crazy. That's incredible. That is stuff that no one else could get.
No doubt.
So this... I love just picking your guys' brains. So what does this do for this guy's career? I know he already has a great career. The guy that followed, the author of this piece.
Oh, he's established.
Okay. But he was that before, but where does this send him?
That's why he's done it. Oh. I mean, he's written books.
Okay.
Right? He's an author. He's a big boy.
I think a lot of people regard him as one of the best sports writers of this generation.
No doubt.
Wow.
That's why he got Steve Kerr. Like, he's...
Now, I'm being real, E. Who's the guy Devone loves? When we look at him as a sports writer, what's my guy? He's been going in on everybody.
He and Pasta are big fans of Jeff Perlman. He is an author.
Yeah,
okay.
I like Jeff Perlman a lot. He's entertaining.
But he's been going at some folks on IG lately, Stani. Stephen A. Like, he ain't wrong, but I'm like, man, Jeff didn't put his hat in the ring.
Where?
Ring.
There you go.
I'm thinking about your wrestling. You don't miss any... What laugh?
I don't know what that was.
That was a half sick
laugh. What was I going to say?
They gave us a new one.
You know what? Oh, this is great from Estimated Eyes. Wright Thompson. What a great name for a writer.
I said that 3 hours ago.
You did?
I just don't
did you hear him say it?
You guys have Guru block out. Like,
well, if he's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Okay.
I
was going to give credit to Estimated Eyes, but...
Estimated. She's stealing my material.
Okay, I don't know who's stealing whose.
You know what? I thought it, and I may not have said it.
Yeah, somebody, Ernie Chavez saying you didn't say it. What if I told you the idea of like following a team around is something that I thought about, and there was a guy I was going to approach.
You got to tell us the name. Bob Myers.
I never got around to it, of course, because I never get around to crap, and it's too late now. The guy, like I was just thinking, I took the NBA off the table just because I didn't want, I would have done it for St. Mary's, Randy Bennett. And it would have been something about how this mid-major somehow has carved out this niche and spent a year with St. Mary's basketball.
When did you stop and say, I'm not going to pursue it? Why didn't you follow through?
Because I don't follow through.
Well, what about your book?
I won't write it.
That's just sad, Stoney.
Yeah.
Someone else could write it.
You got three beautiful daughters. Let them know, Pops, my dad's an author, man.
They're not. They're not ready to do that.
Like my kids, all three of them, you guys can laugh and it's okay. They brag that I still hoop. Like, and that's what I'm doing it for.
My kids brag that I'm a good father. And that I've raised them the right way. But you know what? If they're impressed with you playing pickup at 50, that's great.
Oh, man. Oh, you got me.
I've never.
Have you heard him brag on you, Sonny? I don't know. I'm just like, have you eavesdropped? Have you heard them brag on?
Yes, actually, okay. Something happened the other day.
Like, I just want to make sure.
I'll
like,
give you all the lingo from my daughter, too, because she's classic.
That's pretty damn
she
good.
She goes, this is my daughter who's a sophomore at, or graduate, or she's entering her junior year at 12:30 yesterday. So I'm at Walgreens picking up my pills, and I'm like, it's for Steinmetz. And the effing guy next to me is like, Steinmetz? That's the guy on the radio. She said, I cannot. That was her text.
No, man.
I cannot.
Oh.
She's like, you've got to be.
That is, man. Evan, it's amazing. Stoney, I'm at the game yesterday just talking to my boy Mello. Some young kid comes up, goes, Guru. And I go, took a picture of Stoney. I listen to you and Stoney every day. I met Monte, and I'm just sitting there like, man, I love it, man. Anyway, overshadowed Steinmetz. That's the guy on the radio.
Do you ever feel weird taking pictures, or I don't know if you've had to sign autographs? Is that?
Autographs are weird.
Is that weird?
Yes. I always tell people, like, you're going to lower the value. I try to be humble. You see what I'm saying? Like somebody will give me a Warrior jersey. Steiny, can you sign this? It's like, it's going to lose all its value once the ink hits the mesh.
I just have one regret. Man. Like when I was Evan's age, Steiny, skinny face, jawline, traps. Yep. I'm serious. Yeah. I was the guy. That's when I needed IG. Now I'm getting the pictures and the camera's not my friend. Like the kid told me to take the picture. I'm looking like, damn.
So I think about
like, did it happen as I got older?
Yeah. The way I look at it is,
for real.
I was too young for the Woodstock generation. So I missed Free Love clearly. Okay. So then what? Then we get into the 70s and late 70s.
Yeah.
And that's Reagan's America. Okay, so it gets all conservative. And then everybody starts to, get back to it. And then here comes Magic Johnson with the HIV virus. Right. That shut everything down again. And the next thing you know, you find yourself at 50 or 60 and you're like, oh, I never had a good era.
It wasn't his night.
Oh, man. That's pretty good, man. I thought Magic would study. I cried. I thought he was out of here, man.
He might outlive us all.
No doubt about it.
I remember. It was like, that was 91, I believe.
Went up for money.
And it's like,
science.
Oh my God, he's going to die.
Me too. Dude,
looks the same. He looks fine.
Remember Carl Malone said he didn't want to play with. Carl wants that back. I'm sure he does.
All right.
Yeah.
We've got crossover coming up next on 95.7 The Game, which means Dibs and Willard are in the house. And, they'll end up taking over for us. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Alameda County, Indy.
Thank God, no dibs.